Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the Cult Popture Podcast was brought to you by our Patreon. If you want to tell us which films we should watch, listen to up to 2 extra exclusive podcasts a month, or give us something to discuss in our new post-credit scenes at the end of each episode, then please consider joining the cult and donating at www.patreon.com/cultpopture.
I'm recording.
Yo.
I've got bloody COVID-19. Da, 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 da. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh my god. What?
Usually start from.
Yeah,
three,
I just.
Not five.
Okay, we need to do it again.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Because I wasn't actually listening to you, I was just listening to hear 3 numbers and then I clapped.
Nice.
Hello and welcome to the Cult Popture Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Martin, and I'm joined today by what some critics are calling the Alexander Jones of podcasting. It's, of course, Alexander Jones. AJ,
hello.
How are you?
I don't feel great. I had the onset of like a sniffly thing, which yeah. as we know, is not something you want to have the onset on at the moment. COVID-19 has just made it to New Zealand. I called it COVID, like
yeah,
podvid,
like because you used to say podvid for
yeah. Coronavirus has made it to New Zealand. Not my island though. It's in your city. Has
yeah.
it touched my island?
Yeah, it was at a concert I thought about going to.
Yeah, that's made the news today, is that someone with coronavirus went to a Tool concert, which, God, that's so funny. Just straight up. That's
yeah,
just funny
I found it kind of funny.
I was real worried I was going to get sick, but I feel like I just had a little brief flirtation with a flu, and I'm feeling a lot better now than I did at the start of the day.
Hmm. And as with most of your flirtations, it won't turn into a full-blown thing.
Exactly. Richard, usually on the show, we either talk about film franchises, and in between those podcasts, we'll talk about just something different.
Just shoot the shit.
A topic of the week, which has been things like the Oscars of the 2010s or the most disappointing films of the year. What the frick are we even talking about today?
Well, that's the thing. One thing that we need to discuss is how are we going to concisely sum up this podcast in a title, if you will.
Well, I can explain this much. This idea, while it comes from something you did, was suggested by our patrons over at patreon.com/cultpopture, who we are giving the right to choose what we do in our off week episodes for the next wee while, because they weren't able to pick every second franchise, which was they usually do. But we're currently stuck in the James Bond franchise, which ironically now that No Time to Die has been pushed back to November, which is insane.
More like November Time to Die.
Like it was going to come out in 3 weeks, and now it's not coming out
It was more than 3 weeks away.
It was a month away. It was less than a month away. 3.5 weeks, and now it's just playing in the playing in November. Mm. That's insane. That's such a long. That's a movie this big has never been pushed back that far, this close to when it was supposed to come out.
Yeah.
So we were like, you guys choose, and this is one of the suggestions, one of the most liked and voted on suggestions. And I guess the way to say it, how many did you watch? How many movies did you watch?
406 separate movies.
I guess we're going to call this episode Richard Watched 406 Movies Last Year.
Number 83 will shock you.
What else do we call it? This might be the first time one of our names has made it into the title of an episode.
What? Oh, yeah, but Joe used to get it all the time. Remember
Joe got
Joe?
Two.
Yeah.
We tried him out for the main cast for a few episodes, but he wasn't popular enough with audiences. Never returned again.
Yeah, audiences and flatmates.
Don't reveal our personal baggage. No, you know what? I'm not too worried about saying that. One, because Joe has kind of moved past us in terms of internet success, and also because there's like the old podcast and the new podcast, and that's part of the old podcast. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there was a soft reboot we didn't realize we did,
yeah,
maybe
for sure,
2 years ago, where the podcast, when we got our new microphones and it started sounding way better.
Yeah, for sure. When we moved cities.
Yeah.
But we should mention, shout out to Brent Taylor, who suggested this on the Patreon.
The one and
his
only.
His exact comment was Richard Reviews, TM, trademark, somewhere between 365 to 406 movies he watched in 2019. So, a little bit of backstory.
I was going to say. Why? Why did you do this?
So, in 2018... let's go back even further. In 2016, I decided to keep track of all the movies I watched. And I made it to, I believe, 200.
Okay.
And that was my goal. I want to watch 200 movies this year. And in the last, 2 weeks, I was watching, like, 8 movies a day at, like, 1.5 speed to get through them kind of thing. Because that was when I lived alone and I would just watch Mojo endlessly instead of just putting on a movie. And then 2017, I didn't keep track of the films I watched, but 2018 and 19, Yeah, 2018 I did, and I watched 250. And then so 2019, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to try and watch one film every day. And I like to set myself little year-long goals. I didn't drink for 1 year, and then, so last year I watched a film every day, and maybe I've set a goal for myself this year. Maybe I don't want to reveal it.
In case you don't succeed at
exactly.
that set goal.
And so I did it. Now, I watched more than a film a day. The rule wasn't that I have to end up at the end of the year having watched 365 films. It's that I had to watch one film every day. So what that means is that every single day I had to either finish or start a film. So I could, because, you know, I was kind of like having to chop them up, so I would watch like half an hour of a film before work and then finish it after work. Or, you know, if I knew, I've got Friday off, but I'm working all week, I could watch like, but I'm super busy on Thursday, I would just watch the first 10 minutes of a film knowing I would watch it all plus another film on Friday. And that would count as Thursday and Friday. Or there are even examples of like I would watch a film at night, but it would finish after midnight and I could count that as the next day's film.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some leeway, but I still watched 406 fucking movies. So
yeah, you still went even if that doesn't count for people, you still watched a lot more than the days of the year.
And that's also that 406 figure that doesn't count double ups. So I watched Avengers Endgame 4 times. I watched It's Such a Beautiful Day like 6 times. I watched Your Name 2 or 3 times. There's quite a few double, triple, quadruple ups that we might get to. But also, for the purposes of this podcast, I have removed anything I watched for the Cult Popture podcast. So that includes all the film franchise fortnights. That includes some off-week ones where, like, the other Game of Thrones actors, even good actors, where we watched films with those actors in them so we could discuss them. And so What we're left with is 270 films.
So how many have you taken out?
So that means I've taken out 136.
So that's probably about how many movies I watched last year. if we watched the same, even if we didn't watch the same movies, we watched the same amount of movies. Yeah. But then I guess plus however many, actually I can tell you, plus what, the maybe 60-something movies I watched in the theater, like the 2019 movies. Mm. I don't know if this is as interesting to people because it's not going to be a number as big as... Who cares? Yeah, I'm not even going to look.
We also, still on the preamble of this episode, we were trying to work out if we should make a game out of this, and maybe we'll make little games as we go through, but essentially I'm going to tell you all the fucking movies I watched last year. I'm going to give you a brief summary of what I thought about them. Some of them I'll be like, who gives a shit, and we'll move on instantly, because if I spoke for 1 minute about every single film I watched last year, this podcast would be literally 7 hours long. But the other thing is that, sure, maybe this isn't doesn't require the most effort on our part, but
almost none on mine.
Yeah, sorry if you're an AJ fan, you're getting a fuckload of Richard today.
Yeah, I even the most effort I could have done would have been logging into my Letterboxd, and I didn't even do that.
You bailed halfway through, but I do just want to mention that I have been very, very busy lately, so I apologize that this episode might come across as low effort, but we ensure that we're still here to keep the yucks. But I do want to say that's yuck as in ha-ha, yuck, not, yeah, ooh, yeah, that's disgusting. But what,
like,
I've been
goofy laughs
busy doing is I'm actually the showrunner for a new TV show that's going to be airing in a couple of months on TV in New Zealand. I don't want to go too much into details of what it is, but it's just a really cool development that has happened in my life, and I wanted to share that with you guys.
This episode's just the bloody Richard show, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You'll get one of these one day as well. I was gonna say when I'm the busy one, I need a break, but yeah, so anyway, that is a cool thing that's happened in my life. Also, AJ's a teacher now.
Oh well, I'm a tutor. I feel like I can't claim that I'm a teacher. Hmm. If any of my students are listening, though, do your fucking assignment. I swear to God.
So, yeah, send us love and goodwill, because, man, fucking creating a TV show, it's real hard. It takes it out of you.
I like that it's like, this episode might be low effort, but fucking encourage us as well. Not only are we not giving you much this week, but we want you to give us more than what people on average probably do. But I was thinking, though, this was suggested by a patron along the...
That's what you fucking wanted.
Mission statement. Yeah, suggest a topic for an episode, and people voted on this episode.
Yeah, it actually got the most likes.
Yeah, so there you go.
So anyway, let's get into it. AJ, do you want to guess the first movie I watched last year?
Was it Scooby-Doo 2?
No. It was...
You watched...
I did. I watched Pacific Rim Uprising.
Oh.
And so all year, because Letterboxd has like a stats page if you're a pro member, which I was last year, so that I could, like, you know, see who's the director I watched the most of. My account has since expired, but maybe I'll reactivate it during this podcast so I can give you that information. But all year, staring at me whenever I logged in was the first film you watched this year was Pacific Rim Uprising. And you know what? It's not a very good film. Famously...
So that's film number one.
That's film number one. Not very good. You famously haven't seen the first one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't... the first one's fine, sure. The second one is real bad. I think I gave it like 1 star, and that was my start of my 2019. And I tell you what, it only went downhill from there. Number two.
I save 1 stars for particularly bad movies.
You see, this is the thing as well, is that, like, I'm a bit of a star whore. I, like, I think my 5-star is what you would call a 4-star. Because I believe that there should be plenty of 5-star movies out there. I don't think it should be this unattainable thing reserved for, you know, some possibly fictional god tier
of
film.
I think of it as, if a film is as good as it could be, but just for me personally, it's not going to be in my, you know, hall of fame, I'll give it 4, 4.5 stars. If it's real good and I loved it, I'll give it 5.
Okay. Well, a film that I thought was pretty cool. Second film I watched, Izzy Gets the Fuck Across Town. So this is it stars Mackenzie Davis, who I fucking am in love with, and that's kind of why I watched the movie. But then also Carrie Coon pops up, who I'm also in love with, and Lakeith Stanfield, who I'm also in love with.
Nice.
So it was just like, it's a fun, like, star-making performance. The film kind of doesn't really go anywhere. She gets the fuck across town. But and it's
sounds
very
like she gets
much,
pretty far.
It's yeah, it's one of those like low budget. Hayley Joel Osment's in it as well. It's his kind of, it's the kind of movie you would expect to see him in.
He's a brand now. Yeah.
And then next up, actually, we have Mulholland Drive, which I forgot to delete because we did cover that for the podcast. Check out our Patreon if you want to hear what I thought of Mulholland Drive. Hateful Eight, first time I'd seen it. Quentin Tarantino film. I'd been told for a long time that this wasn't his best work and it was like pretty bad. But you know what? I quite enjoyed it. I've always said I like talkie Tarantino. And this is all talkie Tarantino apart from some gore at the end.
Yeah. I took a girl to see this movie, and she was a lot more sensitive to the kind of violence than I think I was expecting her to be. And we didn't go on a second date, and I really wanted to post a status that said more like The Hateful Date, but we were Facebook friends and we hadn't called it a date, so I didn't want to announce suddenly on Facebook that I thought it was a date and her to be like, I didn't think that was a date. But it's been what, 4 years since then now, so I feel like I can.
What was her name?
I'm not going to say her name. No way.
Okay, next up, we've got Bird Box. I remember I watched this at work at like 6 a.m. on a Saturday, and there was like the only other people at work were like kind of basic, and we're like, oh my God, it's so good, right? And I'll be like, oh, I mean, it's the same ideas have been explored better elsewhere. And then they'll be like, where? And I'll be, you know, something like A Quiet Place. And they go, oh, I didn't see that.
I love that you're fulfilling that niche, that needed character in an office of the film snob. You know, like if everyone in your office was a trading card, that would be the thing that they would exaggerate on your stats, is that you're the film snob. You know? Like if you were a suspect in a Cluedo-esque murder mystery, your character poster would say the film snob.
Yeah. In the cinema with a film reel.
Yeah.
Was a film called Compliance. This is about the a true story actually, where someone would like ring McDonald's pretending to be a cop and be like, look, you've got a this girl's been stealing money. We need you to go out back and strip her naked. And people would just do it because a voice on the phone that sounded authoritative did it. And essentially, not to spoil the real life event, but the voice on the phone essentially coerced this guy into committing sexual assault, all in the name of, oh, she's stealing money and she deserves to be punished by you.
Oh, wait, is the voice on the phone not the filmmaker?
What do you mean?
So this was an actual crime that took place where a voice on a phone told people to do this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying it was a documentary where the documentary makers called up.
Oh, yeah, no. No. So this is a dramatization.
Like, it feels like the filmmakers aren't getting off scot-free here either.
Yeah, it blurs the line between it's a dramatization of a true crime.
Oh, it sounds horrible.
Yeah, it is. It's very, like, makes your skin crawl kind of movie. Next was Short Term 12. Brie Larson.
I love that movie.
That's a great movie. Yeah. Fantastic movie. Yeah. You should check this out. Des and Daniel Cruden directed this, who's going to be directing Shang-Chi. And this is one of those movies that I always wanted to watch. And it's worth mentioning at this point, I set myself this goal so that I would be forced to watch all of these movies that I, you know, never got around to. But as you'll find, I'm good at finding loopholes to not benefit myself.
Now, Richard, do you want to quick fire some of
yeah,
this?
I am
looking at the time.
I'm just now realizing. Okay, I'm going to do the next, let's go 10. I'm going to give you one or two words.
Okay.
Fantastic Mr. Fox, surprisingly funny. Mm-hmm. In the Mouth of Madness, great. The Lobster, really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse, one of the greatest animated films of all time.
Yep.
Unbreakable, somehow better and worse than I remembered it being. Down with Love, surprisingly good. That's Peyton Reed directed that film.
Sorry, if I can pull you up on Unbreakable, I thought you weren't counting films you'd rewatched.
No, I didn't say that.
I feel like I have you recorded saying.
No, I said it doesn't count multiple watches within the same year.
Oh, within the same year. Oh, right. Continue.
I mean, it probably could do movies from now on, I'm going to skip movies I'd already seen prior to 2019. I think that was the first one. Down with Love, surprisingly good. The Last Laugh, not very good unless you're a big fan of Richard Dreyfuss for some reason. Nocturnal Animals, fucking such a good film. Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, featuring a very special contractually obligated mention of Tony Clifton. Man, fuck Jim Carrey. What a dick. He seems horrible to work with. Your Name. So this is the first time I watched it. I watched it a couple times this year. Fucking beautiful. One of the best animated films ever made. Now, we're at when I was catching up to Oscar season. So some of these I didn't watch for the podcast, but you'll probably already know my thoughts on them. Green Book. Pretty good film. Didn't deserve to win the Oscar, and then got a lot of hate because of it, and maybe doesn't quite deserve all the hate it got, but it didn't deserve the praise it got either. Roma, beautiful film, kind of hard to half pay attention to. I think you really need to be, it would benefit from seeing it in the cinema. The Favourite, very artistic, not just your mum's period piece.
I would hate to watch that with my mum.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Glass, what a fucking train wreck that was. Man, Glass, what a bad movie that was.
Both 2019 and 2020 have started with what I think will probably be the worst movie of the year.
Yeah, I would argue 2020s will be the worst of the decade.
Doolittle, we're talking about Doolittle. Mm. Doolittle is, I don't know if I've said this on pod, I think I've said it, maybe I've tweeted about it. Because we talked about how it was coming out in our dumbest looking films of 2020 podcast, but we hadn't actually reviewed it. Doolittle is the worst movie I have seen in years.
Worst, like, mainstream movie.
Yeah, that is an important distinction. Yeah, it is the worst release I have seen in years. Like, I was looking back through my last few years on Letterboxd, and I was like, yeah, it's way worse than Glass. It's way worse than Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. You know, I went back through all the major releases I'd ranked last. And Doolittle, I am infatuated with how bad that movie is. Mm. It'll be the worst of the decade. And it was the first movie of the decade. There's literally nowhere else to go but up.
I cannot fathom what a worse film would be like.
No, we need to do a whole podcast on this. Suggest that on Patreon. Just a belated Doolittle review.
Next up was Fire. Remember how everyone cared about that for like a week? The Fire Festival documentary?
Hmm.
That was pretty interesting. That was one that I remember waiting for it to come out and then watching it day one. And then like a month later, everyone's like, oh my God, have you seen this new documentary? And I'd like already kind of forgotten about it.
Stop talking about me like that, Richard. you could just say it to my face. I think Fire was one of those movies where you go, you watch it and you go, 2019, eh? Well, sign of the times.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, see you later. And then keep living your life.
Moneyball, great script, fantastic acting. Following, Christopher Nolan's first film. Watched that for the first time. It's fine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Io, this was this like shitty movie that Netflix made. This was one that it got released and I chucked it on one morning. And it's just real boring. It's like The Last Person on Earth and just who gives a shit. Jackie, fuck, man, Jackie, what a fucking incredible performance from Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
That was like, holy shit, one of the best acted performances I've ever seen. So she's really? Playing Jackie Kennedy. And there's, Jackie Kennedy is one of those people that has like such an idiosyncratic way of talking and moving that it seems like she's doing a parody. But it's not, you know? And then there's a scene where just after JFK has been shot and she's like wiping his brains off of her face, essentially. And you can see she's got like blood in her eyes and stuff like that. And it's like probably one of the best acted scenes I've seen in my entire life.
Damn. I've been sleeping on Jackie this whole time.
Yeah.
I'd best get off her. I've got to contribute something to this episode.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Up in the Air. Have you seen this with George Clooney? Yeah. It's very good. It's a very charming kind of movie, but that it's Jason Reitman. It's just a nice movie. Capote, the Philip Seymour Hoffman won the Oscar for. Fuck, he's good in this movie. Transformative. Yeah. Transformative.
I believe you.
The Mule. Clint Eastwood has two threesomes in this movie.
We know.
And
we
I mention this every time it comes up because it's a weird fucking movie with one real fucking good scene.
What's the real good scene?
So Bradley Cooper plays the CIA agent that's chasing this mule that the drug runners clearly have. Bradley and Clint meet in a diner and they just, you know, have that kind of chat about life or whatever. And then at the very end, everyone's got this car surrounded that has the mule driving it. Bradley Cooper opens the door, realizes it's the old man he met at the diner, and they just have this like heart to heart that's essentially like, man, why didn't you tell me? Like, I have to take you to jail. I could have helped you, essentially. And it's like, he's really taking sympathy on him. But at the same time, he's been like, he hates this person that he's been chasing for months, only to realize it's this kind old man he met.
It sounds very Breaking Bad-esque.
Yeah, it is. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Watch this for the first time. Man, what a, I don't really like this kind of genre.
No, neither.
Of John just
Hughes
like.
Movie?
of the fucking asshole who fucks up everything and then, oh, he's got a sad backstory so we have to forgive him. Sometimes they don't even have a sad backstory, they just get away with it. Hot Tub Time Machine 2 is the worst example I've ever seen of just a character being a fucking asshole and getting away with everything.
Did you watch that this year?
I did not.
Ah.
The Ides of March, another George Clooney movie, also very good. Out of the Blue. Oh, watch this for your movie club. Your now defunct movie club.
What there were you've mentioned a couple of ones that we watched for the movie club.
Oh, unintentionally.
Yeah, I didn't watch them for your movie club.
Yeah,
it was the same week that they were on movie club, but I watched them for a different reason.
After that, I watched Hereditary. Dark couple of days for me. because the darkest thing was that I watched Hereditary, and it's not very good. I didn't really like it that much. I had all year of people telling me it's the greatest movie you'll ever see. It's literally better than Being Alive. And you know what? It's not.
I don't think it's better than Being Alive. Maybe it is. All right, what was the next one?
Crash, which I also watched for the podcast, so I'll skip over that. Velvet Buzzsaw, one of the most disappointing films of last year. If I wasn't more invested in it, like I was with Glass, it would probably be the most disappointing. But nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know, no harm, no foul, whatever. Abducted in Plain Sight. Fuck, remember this?
Oh, fuck. Terrible. Awful, awful feelings watching that movie.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was... Abducted in Plain Sight is the story. It's a true crime documentary about this woman who gets abducted, kidnapped twice by their family friend who... Oh, God. Who the dad...
makes the parents cheat on each other with him separately.
Yeah.
And then also is in love with their preteen daughter.
Yeah. And God. So that like the parents, they haven't seen their kid, their daughter, the preteen daughter in months. And then they get a phone call from her and the kidnapper and say like, oh yeah, she's been sold, she's been having to work as a prostitute to make a living. And the mother reacts like she's just been told that it's raining outside. She goes, oh okay, like it's like, ah, it's not the end of the world, but you know, it's obviously not what I had planned. And it's the most infuriating, baffling story you could ever watch, and you should check it out. Can You Forgive Me? Really nice film. Great.
We watched it for the podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're right. Have you seen Chips? The Dax Shepard.
No.
Yeah, it's not very good.
For the next 20 movies, I'm gonna beatbox and you're gonna kind of tell us what they are and short reviews.
Okay.
With me beatboxing under. Okay. Ready.
All right. The Lego Movie 2, the second part, not as good as the first one, but it's still a pretty decent movie. Isle of Dogs, hey, this wasn't bad. I'm not a huge Wes Anderson fan, but it was fine. The Breaker Upper is not a very good film, but it's from New Zealand, so I'm not allowed to say that it's bad. Happy Death Day to you. We spoke about this on the podcast, but I saw it before that as well, so I won't give my thoughts. Green Lantern, not very good. A History of Violence is very good. Ghost Shark 2, Urban Jaws, intentionally not very good, which kind of makes it good. High Flying Bird, shot on an iPhone. That's about the only interesting thing about it.
All right. If that sounds horrible in the edit, I'll just cut out my audio and just have you talking real sporadically. I don't know what that's going to sound like.
Early Man, fine. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. I'm sure you remember it.
I'm sure you have an opinion on it, and that is the correct opinion.
Alita Battle Angel, loved it. Carol, a nice movie.
Carol's cool.
Yeah, should have got more love at the time. Paddleton, fuck, what a good movie. This was the best movie that I thought was going to make my top 10 at the end of the year, but then the second half of the year was so loaded with good movies.
Yeah.
Serenity, I think I spoke about this on the mid-year pod review. What a bafflingly stupid film. People are going to tell you it's so bad it's good. It's not. It's so boring and then it's stupid.
Okay.
Tangle, watch it for the first time. It's pretty good. It's not my favorite of the three Disney animated movies I watched for the first time.
New Disney princess.
Yeah, the new princess. Neo princess. It's probably my second favorite. Isn't It Romantic? A fine idea, better executed, and They Came Together, one of my favorite films of all time. Captain Fantastic, it's there in the name. It's bloody fantastic. Behind the Curve, man, this film is so fucking funny. This is like, if you were making a documentary about Flat Earth, which is what this is, and then you discovered this talent and the subplot in the film, you would retire as a filmmaker, because it's so perfect. It's about this dude who's like the cream of the crop in the Flat Earth world, but the movie is actually about this guy who can't get a girl to like him, that like he has a crush on the popular girl and she just wants to be friends. And it's so fucking funny. He even mentions like being on a date or something like that. She goes, haha, yeah, like a friend date. And it's like, and he's oblivious. He thinks it's going well. And then the Flat Earthers twice in this film prove that the Earth is round by accident. It's such a good documentary.
So this is a documentary made by Flat Earthers.
It's like made in conjunction with it's someone who, like it, it's one of those things where the documentary isn't making fun of them because they do it to themselves. Right. You know, like it's someone that goes in and goes, just tell us your beliefs, And they're like, yeah, cool, finally a chance. But it, then they document these different trials they do. And like the very last scene of the documentary is they go, so it's like they've set up this contraption and it says like, essentially, if this does this, if we see this result, it means the earth is flat. And then the results come up and he goes, oh. That's strange. And then it cuts because it's not what it's proving the earth is round. It's okay. So good. It's on Netflix. I Feel Pretty, the Amy Schumer movie where she gets knocked out and then finds out that she's the inner beauty was all in her all along. It's a weird movie, man. It wants to have that positive message, but then it still like doesn't in some ways and it does in some ways. But then it's kind of like Trainwreck where it's like it just ends on like a super generic kind of rom-com ending when the whole movie's been kind of like dismantling that concept. Yeah. All right, next up, Captain Marvel. When I saw that for the first time, wasn't for the podcast, but I've spoken about it a few times. Yeah, it's pretty good. We're only
up to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, this is where we are in the year. Captain Underpants, the first epic movie. Oh, this is a good time. Check it out. Jesus Christ, the first movie that I saw the title, I was like, what the fuck is that? A movie called The Discovery. It's the last film Jason Segel was in, because I was like, what the fuck has he been doing? He was in this movie in 2017, where essentially they proved that there's an afterlife, and so people want to kill themselves.
Okay.
And it's pretty interesting. And yeah, I mean, it was just cool to see Jason Segel, an actor that I realized I hadn't seen on screen in like 5 years. Young adult, the Charlize Theron movie. Have you seen this?
No.
Yeah, it's a good performance from her. It's that kind of like, it's very realistic, and Patton Oswalt's fantastic in it as well. Fighting With My Family. This was a fantastic film. My introduction to Florence Pugh and who I fell in love with throughout the year.
All right. The next, you have to see how many movies you can get to.
Yeah.
By the time I finish singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Ready?
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
House Movie Twinkle Castle, My Introduction to Studio Star. Ghibli. Very good. Us, I cannot believe people think that this is a good movie. The Dirt.
Up in the sky.
Generic, but still has twinkle, a lot of charm to it. The Deadpool. This is the Dirty Harry movie. I was running late for something and I had to watch a movie in 90 minutes and that was the only one I could find.
How many movies was that?
Like four.
Okay. So we're running... That was a generous rendition of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star as well.
Yeah, and we even just glossed over the fact that I said, I can't believe that people think Us is a good movie, which I think is being a bit harsh, but I did feel like my crazy pills wore off when it didn't get any Oscar love and people were thinking it would. Don't get me wrong, Lupita Nyong'o is great, but it's a first draft for a pretty good movie. Shazam, what a great film. Patterson, great performance from Adam Driver. Unicorn Store, this is one of the most baffling films to come out in 2019. It's like a manic pixie dream girl meets a magical Negro. These are the names of the tropes. I'm not, you know. And it's
sorry,
like,
I don't mean to be mean to pixies or girls.
Yeah. It's such a bizarre film. It's Brie Larson's directorial debut, and it came out just after Captain Marvel, so it was like, it's perfect fodder for if you want to hate Brie Larson, because it's not a very good movie.
Right.
The first Purge. The Purge world is kind of fun and interesting, but you know, it doesn't really go many places. Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Watched Monty Python for the first time. These jokes I've heard a million times before, and they're just kind of annoying at this point. Guava Island. It's just like a trailer for a Childish Gambino album we haven't got yet. The Meyerowitz Stories, new and selected, Noah Baumbach's film. It's really cool. I recommend you check this out. Good Time, Safdie Brothers, great film.
I love Good Time. Fuck yeah.
Life of Brian, again, Monty Python. I don't care. I'm sick of it. Leaving Las Vegas. I watched this on a plane, except for the last like 15 minutes. And so I got home and I was like, oh, Jess, do you mind if I just watch the end of this film? Like, it's Nicolas Cage goes to Vegas to essentially drink himself to death. And I put on the film, and like the scene I was up to had like one line left and it ended. And then the next scene was like a reasonably violent rape scene. And Jess was just like, this was the first scene of the film as far as she was concerned. And I was like, the whole film hasn't been like this. This is kind of out of left field. But it's a good film. Nicolas Cage, he won an Oscar for it. He nominated. Anyway, no, he won an Oscar for it. Yes. Trumbo. This is the Bryan Cranston film. It's just a fun performance from Bryan Cranston. The film is nothing special. Knock Down the House. It's a nothing special documentary about the woman, AOC, and Congress, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yep.
Stepford Wives. It's just Get Out for white people. The Rocketeer.
I loved Stepford Wives when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool movie.
It is Get Out for white people. The Rocketeer. Oh, it's fun. People are clamoring for a sequel for some reason, but it does not need one. Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile. That's my review of that Zac Efron, Ted Bundy movie.
Terrible movie.
All right. Long Shot. This is 100. And I'm going to give a 100-minute review of it. Now, Long Shot's actually a really good movie. Like, 2019 was a good year for just, like, studio rom-coms.
Richard, I hate to do this on podcast, but I'm doing the maths, dude. And if we're at 100 out of... Oh, no, because you're only doing 200 and...
Yeah, yeah. All right, give me another game that I'll race through a few.
Okay, I'm going to hold my breath.
Do you know... Sorry. when we got to like four movies, I was like, fuck. Fuck, I did not think this through.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I did the twinkle twinkle little star thing, but you didn't speed up your reviews.
I did. Just...
Okay. Well, okay. No, not you did in terms of how fast you were talking, but you weren't more economic with your words.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. What about this? Instead of you holding your breath, because I don't want you to hurt yourself, the next 10 movies, can you hold up your fingers for me? And so I'm going to give like a 10-word review and then a 9-word review and then and so on. Okay. So
that feels like it'll take longer, but all right.
All right. Pokemon Detective Pikachu. This film is pretty good, it's and I don't need the other words. okay. John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum. This film is pretty good.
This is taking longer.
okay. See You Yesterday doesn't have an ending. What Men Want. I forgot I watched this. Vacation.
Was an answer in a pub quiz I was at the other day.
Really? What Men Want?
Yeah, it was this 2019 film is a soft remake of a Mel Gibson film.
Oh, no. Very cool. Did you get it right?
I did.
Vacation. This is the one with Ed Helms.
But do you know what else happened at that pub quiz?
What? I like the idea of this podcast never ending.
So we're at this pub quiz and the last we're doing fucking terribly, right? And the last round is called The First Shall Be Last, and the concept of the round is that there are 10 questions and the answer, so the answer for question 2, for example, will start with the last letter of the answer to question 1.
Nice.
And yeah. So therefore 3 will start with the last letter of question 2. So if you guess 2 and 4, you have the first and last letters of question 2, 3, right?
Yeah.
We're doing terribly. One of them is what extra ingredient goes with pesto to make this sauce? And we were like, oh, maybe it's lemon. And then the next one was, what is the Tereo word for this sweet, for a sweet treat? And we were like, a sweet treat starting with N from lemon? What the heck is that? And then the next one was, I can't remember what we thought it was, but we guessed tea. And so we thought the middle one was maybe nougat. And so, and we guessed all these other ones and we were just shooting in the dark, man. And then I was like, sweet treat to Ray. Like, what is it going to be? And I was like, is it chocolate? Like, maybe the sauce has got garlic in it? And they were like, no, because you'd need to chop up garlic really fine to make it into a sauce. And I was like, okay, whatever. And so we kind of fumble our way through the whole thing. And this is with a listener of the show who I met on the night, was in our team. So, hello, listener. Daniel was his name. I haven't forgotten his name. That was embarrassing. And so then the answers come up, and it's like, number one, garlic is the answer. And I was like, oh, no. And then number two, chocolate. And I was like, of course it's chocolate! I was like, it's the platonic ideal of a sweet treat. They're not going to make it nougat. They're not going to make it nougat. Nougat is not even that sweet of a treat. I'm like screaming this at my team, and they're like in tears laughing, and we're in the middle of this pub quiz filled with people 30 years older than us, like watching me scream my lungs out about. Anyway, just a quick intermission from your
while I catch
reviews.
My breath.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, got it. Okay. The Perfection. You watch this as well. It's full of twists and turns. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Aladdin 2019. Not bad. I mean,
not good.
The Light of the Moon. This is a film where if you like Stephanie Beatriz, Rosa from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it's a very good performance from her. The subject matter of the film is quite dark, and it's a very realistic kind of portrayal about what happens to someone after a sexual assault.
Okay,
but it's a very sort of dark, realistic movie with a great performance from her. Greatest Showman. Finally watched this so I can have an opinion on it. It's actually not as bad as I thought it would be. It's about the same level as Bohemian Rhapsody, maybe slightly better. Always Be My Maybe, what a cute film. Rocket Man, very good, better than Bohemian Rhapsody. The Mummy, the 1999 film, I finally watched that for the first time.
I don't want to talk about this.
I do not see what the hype is.
You're insane. You're an insane man. It's such a fucking good movie. You're the only person I know who isn't like infatuated with this
movie. Am I the only person you know that didn't watch it when they were a kid? And has since watched it.
I don't know, but I still would. Shut up. I would still challenge that takes all. I feel like I'm good enough of a film critic to be able to discern between nostalgia love and real love. I don't like Space Jam.
Yeah,
that means I'm allowed to say.
That means I'm a good enough film critic.
All right, well, keep going.
Pokemon the movie, I choose you. I don't choose this movie as a recommendation.
Why did you watch that? Don't answer that, just keep going.
Porco Rosso, this is a... You're now entering my anime phase when I decided I was going to Japan. Porco Rosso, great film. Apparently, if you're interested, check out the French dub because Jean Reno plays Porco Rosso. He's played by Michael Keaton in the English dub, and apparently the Jean Reno is like the definitive performance, and it's the French dub of this film. My Neighbor Totoro, what a fucking cute film. Kiki's Delivery Service might be my favorite Studio Ghibli film. It's fucking adorable, and it just makes you feel happy. Eagle vs. Shark, not an anime film, a Kiwi film that took me a long time to get around to. It is definitely Taika's weakest work.
I agree.
Wolf Children, fantastic.
I have a fun review that my friend John once said about Eagle vs. Shark, and I posted it on Facebook in 2012, and whenever I'm reminded of it, I tag him once per year because it was such a funny point. And this was his review of Eagle vs. Shark. Artsy movies are real good unless you're not expecting them to be artsy, and then they just piss you off. And I was like, that's so true, and that's Eagle vs. Shark. I was expecting a Flight of the Conchords comedy and got a quite dry, somewhat dramatic Taika Waititi film.
Yeah, I mean, it got him to be able to make all the other films he made, so good on him.
For sure, of course.
Wolf Children, this is, if you can get past the very obvious furry fetish stuff in it, it's a real, real, real fucking good movie. It's about this
Why
woman.
Not just embrace the furry stuff?
Yeah, so it's about this woman who has an affair with a wolf and
bears two children, and he dies, and so she's left to raise these two kids who can turn into wolves.
And so, I'm probably not going to watch this one.
And so, one of the kids like wants to embrace their wolfness, and the other one just wants to fit in. And she's trying to make it all work, and she's a single mom, and it's such a beautiful movie.
Is this an anime?
It is an anime, yeah. Redline, the story is like so-so, but it's beautiful animation. The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, same creator as the Wolf Children. I didn't like it quite as much, but it was pretty cool. Murder Mystery, the Adam Sandler movie. Remember that movie?
Vaguely. I saw nothing about it. I've seen a screenshot from this movie.
Yeah, there's a real funny extra in it. from up on Poppy Hill. It's a little memorable, it's quite nice. Dumbo, the 2019 film, not as bad as the critics made it out to be. Dirty Grandpa, just as bad as the critics made it out to be. 5 centimeters per second, just as good as the critics made it out to be. Yesterday, the critics are somewhat divided, I guess, but I thought it was beautiful.
This can be the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, Castle in the Sky. It was really cool, actually. Padma Inverted, another anime. Just a fun concept.
Man, this list of movies you watch has taken a turn.
It's just anime.
So
yeah.
Fun. It's like it's entered a tunnel. It's like we're on this car trip. We're going from Christchurch to Marlborough, and you've just gone through one of the many tunnels.
Well, because there's a couple that I'm missing out. Like I watched Holes and Back to the Future and Superbad in this scrap, but you know, I've seen those multiple times.
Right.
Johnny English Reborn. Now, when I was scrolling through the list, collating it for this episode, I was like, did I fucking watch Johnny English Reborn? not 2 days ago, I was thinking about for our James Bond podcast, like things we could do related to it. I was like, oh, we could do like parodies of James Bond. I was like, oh, but then Johnny English is a franchise, so we shouldn't cover that. I was like, oh, it would be good to have a chance to watch the sequels because I haven't seen them. And apparently I've seen the second one. I do remember putting it on, but I do not remember a single thing about the film.
I've never watched so many movies that I don't recall watching one of them.
Yeah, well, so that 52 minutes into the podcast, it's about time we approach the moral of the story, which is I do not recommend this at all. It's a stupid thing to do. And if it's your job to watch movies, sure, watch one a day. But when you're having to squeeze them in at work and things like this, I do not recommend it.
Because when we were doing the Jaws podcast, you watched Jaws for the first time, which, you know, has earned its title of being one of the greatest and most important films of all time. And you were real, I'd say you're a bit hotter than lukewarm, but you were like, movies mean nothing to me anymore. Like you'd watched so many that this was just a drop in the bucket.
Exactly. A single shark in the ocean and not one who's capable of holding a personal grudge.
we're gonna need a bigger shark.
The Boy and the Beast, another, this is Mamoru Hosoda, who's like the new up-and-comer kind of anime director. It's a fine movie. Take Me Home Tonight, it's like got Chris Pratt and Anna Faris met on this movie, and just like their relationship, this film does not end well. Not that the ending's particularly bad, but just none of the film is very good.
I feel like Pratt and Ferris probably had quite an amicable breakup.
I feel like he got real hot and then she married the chubby funny guy and she wasn't used to the attention he got. And I think he wasn't either, to be fair. I'm not being like, oh, she's a shrill woman who couldn't put up with her man. But no, I think that the entire dynamic of their relationship changed almost overnight. And I think they'll put a strain on any relationship.
This is such a profoundly unqualified thing for either of us. we're not in their life situation. We have no idea. Anyway, we can't pause on these things. I shouldn't have stopped you.
Wrist Cutters, a love story. You like this
I was going to ask if you watched that because you watched that other one you said with Jason Segel. Segel? I always say it wrong and you laugh at me.
What? That's a weird thing to be like, oh no, because this is also about the afterlife, isn't it?
Yeah. 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 It's about afterlife and people killing themselves.
Yeah, well, I was like, man, what a weird leap to make just because I was just thinking of that as the Jason Segel movie.
What is this film about, AJ?
Let's hear your thoughts.
Wrist Cutters: A Love Story is a real creative film that you'd probably have to be a little bit more tender and careful with if you released it now. But it's about a guy who kills himself, and he wakes up in the afterlife, and it's exactly like Earth, but it's a little bit worse. And This is where you go when you kill yourself. And it's like a road trip movie of these people who are road tripping across the country. I think they're trying to figure out a way to revive themselves. But the world is a little bit worse in ways like you can't smile in this universe and there are no stars in the sky. It's a very cool movie. I need to watch that again.
Mm. Yeah, it's actually on YouTube. That's where I watched it. And that's how I found it, because I was like just looking for full movies on YouTube so I could watch something at work. And people would be like, he's watching Netflix. They'd be like, oh, yeah, he's just watching a YouTube video. It just happens to be 90 minutes. The Garden of Words, I also watched at work. This one's under like 40 minutes. Very, very beautiful animation. When Marnie was there, this is my other one that also is potentially my favorite Studio Ghibli film.
Did you say that the last film was 40 minutes long?
Yeah, it is. It is technically a film. It was theatrically released, but it is.
So was like Steamboat Willie, though. You could have done this real easily and just watched a bunch of Chuck short Jones films. Yeah, yeah. Tunes.
I think Japan has like looser definitions of the term feature film.
Right.
Maybe it's an hour. I can't remember.
So we're going by Japanese rules then. All right. No, that's all good. Well, Richard, hey, this is a little bit behind the curtain, but we usually cut this part out, but I'm going to leave it in as an extra time challenge. We usually stop recording at about an hour into each of our podcasts and we save everything and then start again. I usually cut out this section, but if you're listening to other episodes and we get to around 50 minutes to an hour and it sounds like the tone of the conversation suddenly shifts on the line, that's why. But what we're going to do, Richard, is we're going to stop recording now. And then you have half an hour to finish because this is not going to be more than 90 minutes long.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. All right. We are back. Richard, go.
Oh, man. The tone has completely changed, AJ.
It's turned on a bloody dime.
Gifted. This is Chris Evans and it's Mark Webb directed it. And it's one of the... Allow me to take a moment on this film. this is one of those movies that, like, there's nothing wrong with it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, why isn't this the best film of all time?
What movie was it?
Gifted. It's a Mark Webb directed. It stars Chris Evans. Okay. And it's like, I'm just like, yeah, cool. It's just like a good film. It was nice. I watched it on a plane. The Lion King 2019. I've already spoken about this, but. You know, I enjoyed it. The cinema going experience was one of the worst I've ever had. Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. This was Hayao Miyazaki's first film. Actually wasn't his first film. Lupin the Third was his first film. But this was his first, like, not part of a franchise film. And this spawned the creation of Studio Ghibli. And while it's not one that you can point to as being like, yeah, it's good because of this. It's just like all around like a pretty decent film. Now, what we're up to now is me getting hit by a car.
I haven't seen that.
So I watched in hospital. When I was riding home, I was excited to get home because I was going to watch Furious 7, but I got run over by a car. And when I say run over by a car, the car drove over me. It ran over my arm. I did not break because I'm somehow indestructible. but this was probably the most lenient I got with it. I watched 1 minute of The Great Hack in my hospital bed and then just watched it the next day. And because people were like, oh, it'll make you think so hard about what information you share online. It doesn't. It's not a very good film. I didn't find it interesting. Spirited Away, watch for the first time. Two thumbs up. It's great. The Red Turtle. I feel like Spirited Away I can kind of write off as just being good because everyone knows it's good. The Red Turtle is fantastic. It's beautiful. Thunder Road. This was like one dude wrote and directed and stars in this. And there's one, I really want you to watch this movie because there's one line in it that I know you will love his delivery.
Okay.
And it's It's someone realizing their world is crashing around them and they have nothing they can do to stop them, essentially. And he's it's very good. This is what The Room would be like if it was good. If
what's
Tommy
the
Wiseau
line?
Shit. He says, "I wasn't violent."
Okay.
Is
it like this? "I wasn't violent."
Almost.
Okay.
Essentially, because he has a breakdown at a funeral at the start of a film, and then he's like losing custody of his kid, and they're like, "Oh, I heard you had a violent breakdown at a funeral." This is like the judge talking, and he's just like, "I wasn't violent. I wasn't violent." And he's realizing that, like, oh shit, you knew about that, and realizing how bad that looks for him.
Right.
But he actually genuinely wasn't violent.
Are you saying I would like it because it's a good, it's serious delivery?
Yeah.
Oh, this whole time I was like, it doesn't sound very funny, Richard.
Mary and like Max.
When my favorite line deliveries are like Hot Rod, when he's like, "I am Rod and I like to party." Like, it's like that's the realm I was living in.
The realm I'm thinking of is your love of when Walt is pleading for Hank's life in Ozymandias, the episode of Breaking Bad.
Oh,
and
my
he
God.
Goes and he's like, "Please, please," and he like says it twice and he's like, I think that's the line, but you know what I mean, right?
No, that it's when Walt's pleading for his own life before at the end of season 3. That's the line delivery.
Yeah, that's right. And it's that kind of thing of like saying it a few times, but then the last time has all this extra emotion behind it. Anyway, we're running out of time.
And you go, "I didn't know someone could act this good, and I've learned everything I need to know about acting from watching."
And now I can just do it myself.
Now I can do it myself.
Mary and Max. Fuck, this is I was watching this and I thought, man, this is probably one of the best films I've ever seen. It's a real ugly stop motion animated film. It stars Philip Seymour Hoffman as Max, and it's just like, it's just such a good, you need to watch it. Summer Wars, another anime film. This one's it's just kind of Ready Player One. Late Night, well, one of the most disappointing films of the year for me. I think I spoke about it on the podcast. I really wanted this to be good, and it's just not. Rocko's Modern Life, Static Cling. I was never a huge Rocko's Modern Life fan, but this seemed to recapture the magic and bring it into now, and so that was quite cool. The Little Hours. This is that Nun movie with Aubrey Plaza and Alison Brie.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay.
It's not very good. Children Who Chase Lost Voices. This is Makoto Shinkai's movie, who did Your Name and Garden of Words and 5 Centimeters Per Second. This was one of his first films, if not his first film. And again, it's about death and the afterlife. And it's a beautiful animation, but it's probably not his best story. Should I see how many I can get through in one breath?
Okay.
Booksmart was a little let down by, but is very good. I just heard it was probably better than it is. Invader Zim, Enter the Floppus picks up perfectly from where it left off. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I've spoken at length about already. Princess Mononoke, Leonardo DiCaprio's favorite animated movie. Did you know that? I bet you didn't.
No.
And it's real good. It's kind of like if girls like Spirited Away, boys like Princess Mononoke. Okay, so that was like three I got through.
I wanted to talk about Booksmart.
Yeah, I realized like when I said it, I was like, oh, here's one that AJ can talk about. Well, anyway, just to breeze over it. What do you have to say about Booksmart? Because you only watched it just recently.
I did watch it recently, and obviously it's great in a lot of ways. I think I really like the first half, and then there's a switch when they accidentally do drugs and they turn into dolls. And I was like, this isn't very good. Like, it's like this is clearly one of those things where the director, Olivia Wilde, director, was just like, I want to try do this. And it's it like sort of like how Vice is.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's very McKayian of her.
Adam McKayian, yeah, throws everything at a wall and
says, Adam McCain,
sticks.
You've done it again.
And I didn't for, and I feel bad saying this because this movie's so good in other aspects, but the female teacher who's like the cool teacher ends up banging one of her male students in it. And I was like, is this not like exactly the kind of stuff this movie's trying to like move this genre away from? I don't know. And I also didn't like that Beanie Feldstein's character like got with the loser guy at the end, because I don't think his character was built to be a rom-com, a romantic lead at the start of the film. But I thought that was, I don't know, it seemed like it would have been more powerful if she didn't need to have a boyfriend by the end of it. Anyway, this is me distantly recalling a movie I saw some 3 months ago. So,
It's Such a Beautiful Day instantly became one of my favorite films of all time, and it's I got the main character tattooed on my leg a week ago.
He's a little stick figure. If you haven't seen it,
Weathering with You, another anime film. This
have I seen this one? Why does this sound familiar?
Weathering with You. We saw a trailer for it at Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Jeremy was like, that looks like some, like, it was a little bit like he just hates, you know, different cultures. Man. Like, that was the impression I got from him, from his reaction to the trailer. But I was like, I'm looking forward to it.
We need to ask him if it's okay to include
yeah, it's the same guy that did Your Name. This is like his follow up, to it. And, it is, in a lot of ways, it's like Your Name too. But again, beautiful animation. The story goes, it ends in a very unexpected place, I thought. Enter the Anime. This is probably the worst film I watched all year. It's Netflix jerking themselves off for almost an hour. And it's just this, they got some random woman to do a documentary about anime, and she only covers the Netflix anime. And she just like gets to go to Japan and be like, fuck, their culture's wacky. And it's the most condescending shit you've ever seen.
What a whiplash to go from you praising literally every anime movie you saw to Enter the Anime, worst movie I saw all year.
Yeah, it is. The Kid, a reasonably forgettable Western, which stars Chris Pratt and Ethan Hawke.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, did Richard ever watch The Kid?
I did.
Do you remember Disney's The Kid with Bruce Willis and Spencer Breslin?
Yeah, I do. I remember seeing it in bargain bins, but I never watched it. Being Elmo, A Puppeteer's Journey, just quite a nice film. There's a few that I rewatched. Shaun the Sheep Movie. Oh, fuck, it's cute. I really want to see Farmageddon, but I didn't get a chance because it's a kid's movie. They don't play it at night. They play it during work hours. Geostorm. Oh, man, what a fucking trash heap. Wet Hot American Summer. I love David Wayne, his style of comedy.
You liked it? Okay.
Yeah, that was incredible. Did you like it?
No, I did not like it. I actually think it's a real... I'm not into it necessarily, but I think the concept of having adults playing teenagers, I'm surprised I've only ever seen Wet Hot American Summer do that.
Yeah, well, and then their the follow-up series, how they're like...
Yeah, exactly.
In the movie they go, let's meet again in 10 years. And so... 15 years later, they're like, we're doing a sequel series, and it's a prequel. It takes place even earlier, and everyone's just like 40 now,
which
it's
is
so
a
funny.
Great throwing caution to the wind kind of stylistic.
That's a Richard joke. That's think of the obvious pun and then do the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm just as funny as him. Atomic Blonde. This could be a franchise, and it should be
interesting.
It's just a cool note. Maybe A Grand Night In, the story of Aardman. This is just a little documentary about the history of Aardman. It's on Netflix. It was exactly what I was in the mood to watch at the time. Cool. At Chapter 2, you really didn't like. I really didn't mind.
yeah, but not liking something is a stronger energy than not minding something.
I loved it.
whatever.
Girls Trip. This is... It narrowly avoids having that obnoxious character getting away with things trope because you kind of like her.
Right.
Parasite. Watched that for the first time. It's a Korean film. You might not have heard of it. I don't need to do this joke. we don't have time. Comedian. Oh my God. This documentary, it's about Jerry Seinfeld and this other like up and comer whose name I cannot even fucking remember, but he is like the most egotistical fucking douchebag you've ever seen. You look up his IMDb credits and it's like occasionally appearing in things. He never made it. And it's so funny to watch it as like, here's Jerry Seinfeld going back to stand up, and here's this dude who's going to be the next hot thing, and he's not, and he's a dick, and it's so satisfying. Okja, man, does Jake Gyllenhaal realize he's not in a fucking cartoon? I don't care if he does or not, because it's fucking amazing. I'm here for you, Jake. You get that Oscar
for Okja.
Tall Girl, what a bananas insulting film. Midsummer, oh my God, fucking amazing. Incredible.
Are we only up to Midsummer?
Freddy Got Fingered. Watch this for the podcast. Yeah, watch this for the podcast, but it is genuinely one of the worst movies I have ever seen. It never becomes so bad it's good. I don't even like the sausages part. It's just I want to punch this movie in the face.
That was for a Patreon episode.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard us.
Ponoc Short Films Theatre, Volume 1, Modest Heroes. Now, this is a collection of short films. The main one I remember about this guy who's invisible, but because he's invisible, he's like lighter than air. So he has to he has a fire extinguisher strapped to his like a satchel bag at all times to keep himself grounded. It's quite cool. They're quite fun. It's a Netflix original kind of thing. Skeleton Twins, great performance from Bill Hader, great performance from Kristen Wiig. Yeah.
You've got about 15 minutes left before I start playing the outro music.
okay. Between Two Ferns, the movie. This was fun. It's fun. It breaks the illusion of Between Two Ferns, so I don't think they could do any more. Super Size Me 2, Holy Chicken. I find it hilarious that Morgan Spurlock released a film that has Me Too on the title after he deliberately Me Too'd himself. It's actually probably better than the first one, and it's really, really interesting, but I don't think anyone saw it. I don't think anyone will. Pompoko, this is a film about shape-shifting tanukis with, it's an anime, who the have balls. Magical testicles.
Yes! Yeah.
Have you seen it? Or are you aware of it?
This was a question in long-time fans of Cold Popture will remember. Just completely derail us from a 15-minute timer. We'll remember years and years ago, we did a very brief Hollywood News live show on Facebook Live called Soda Popture. And one of the games we played with our guests for one of the episodes was called Actual Movie or Cheese Dream, where I'd describe a movie and they had to guess whether it was a real movie or if it was a cheese dream I'd had. And Pompoko was one of the actual movies that I selected for.
Oh, nice. I did not watch that episode. Hello, Privilege. It's me, Chelsea. This is Chelsea Lately. I can't remember her real last name, but it's like her addressing the idea of white privilege. And it's like, there's a couple of really good moments in it, but like, it is just a privileged white girl that's allowed to have money to make a documentary about how privileged she is. Death Proof. This was a lot of fun, actually. This was the first time I'd seen
Interesting. I would say it's easily Tarantino's worst film.
I do not disagree with you, but it is a lot of fun. Swiss Army Man. What do I say about this movie?
Didn't you not like it?
It's good. It is good.
I liked it.
I think it's maybe a little bit overrated.
I came into the cinema maybe 2 minutes late for it, though, so I always felt like I'd never seen the whole thing. Massive chunk of it.
Okay. Joker. This film, what a joke. I don't know. You know what I think about this film. The Hero, this is that Sam Elliott movie where he like plays an aging actor, and it's like, yeah, it's fine. El Camino, Breaking Bad movie, I've spoken about this as well. 200, Tron. This is cool. This is a real cool movie. And so is Tron Legacy, which I watched the following day. Ponyo, probably maybe Miyazaki's weakest film, I think. Secret World of Arrietty. Again, another anime. It's this is actually just an adaptation of The Borrowers. It's like, I got told, oh, it's just The Borrowers, and it's like, it's not. They're not saying it's a ripoff of The Borrowers. It's a remake. It's also an adaptation of the book. Mm-hmm. That's not a review of the film. and neither is this. Stuber is fine. Stuber is such a middling movie. The Laundromat, what a bafflingly strange movie. Check out The Laundromat if you get a chance on Netflix. It's such a weird movie that throws amazing talent around like nobody's business. Zombieland mm-hmm. Double Tap, a week later I forgot I'd seen it. I remember being like, yeah, this is probably as good as the first one. It's the same kind of four stars. Whisper of the Heart, really nice film. The Light Shift. Do you know this film? It's like a dramatization of when they gave the Tonight Show after Carson called it quits. They gave it to Jay Leno instead of David Letterman, and it's like the people that sort of lusted after David Letterman for their networks. The Cat Returns. This movie's so fucking funny. This everyone just says this is the worst Studio Ghibli film, but it's so funny. This girl saves a cat from being run over by a truck, and then turns out the cat is actually like this royalty and can speak, and they're like, and so this whole, all of these cats are like, congratulations, you now have to marry this prince that's a cat. And she's like, well, I don't want to marry a cat. And so like the whole film is her like being forced to marry this cat. It's so funny, it gets too much hate. Moana, probably my least favorite of the new princess thing, but I know that's a very controversial opinion.
It's my favorite one.
Yeah, I
frankly, it's unpatriotic of you, Richard.
I know, and that's the thing, and like it's racist and it's unpatriotic, but
it's not racist.
You said it. I don't know. It's something about it just wasn't. Yeah. Anyway, I think the movie itself doesn't really go as big as I would have liked it to. The Wind Rises, another Miyazaki film. Yeah, that's real good. Grave of the Fireflies, real sad. I'd actually seen that before. So, Jojo Rabbit, thumb up. thumb up my butt. Dolomite Is My Name. This was a real good day.
Yeah, man.
The Wedding Singer. I watched that for the first time.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's just about exactly as good as you think it would be. Yu-Gi-Oh! The Movie, also called Yu-Gi-Oh! The Movie Pyramid of Light. This is the second worst reviewed animated film of the 2000s. And if you don't like Yu-Gi-Oh! I can see why you would think.
You watched all of Yu-Gi-Oh! Last year to prep for Japan. And you were describing an episode to me once over Messenger. And you finished describing it and I said, man, that sounds really bad.
Do you remember what it was?
No, but you laugh reacted. I thought you were going to be upset, and you laugh reacted to it and said, "Yeah, man." And it was like, "What fresh hell does Richard live in? Where he's watching 400 movies this year? He does a podcast that forces him to watch more horrible movies, and he's just by choice watching a terribly written anime for children."
Which has like 250 episodes roughly. And you know what, I enjoyed the hell out of it, except for one story arc that I kind of skipped to the end of, but it's not really considered canon, so that's fine. Color Out of Space, that actually comes out soon. I randomly saw a preview screening of it. If you like Lovecraftian horror, it's quite cool. It's the kind of movie you should support if you want to get more kind of stuff like this across the line. Slaughterhouse Rules. Oh my god, what a fucking bad movie. Holy shit. This is Nick Frost and Simon Pegg's first collaboration since The World's End, and it's real fucking bad. And it's like, oh my god, you guys, did you not fucking read the script or watch this film before your newly found production company made it? Won't You Be My Neighbor? This isn't the Tom Hanks movie. This is the documentary that was made. I wanted to watch it in preparation for that, just so I'd know a little bit more about Mr. Rogers. He seems like a great dude.
Did you ever watch the movie?
No, all I've seen of Mr. Rogers is Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Okay. Yeah, same. Well, I actually haven't even seen the movie, so.
Yeah. Good Boys. This was just a pretty funny, reasonably funny generic studio comedy. Dora and the Lost City of Gold. I spoke about this on the podcast. Man, what a fucking good time. Actually, the bunch of these I spoke about on the podcast. Angry Birds Movie 2, Irishman, Knives Out, Let It Snow, I actually watched for the podcast. So it should be on there. Frozen, watched this for the first time last year. My favorite of the new princesses.
I don't see the way you describe Moana is how I describe Frozen.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't go as big as I want it to. It's fine.
Yeah.
I found it. I don't know why I'm reviewing Frozen in 2020, but that's I've just always been underwhelmed by Frozen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got into Frozen years after I had no one to talk to about it. Well, I mean, I had everyone to talk to about it because everyone saw it by the time I watched it.
Just but, find you know, someone's child and talk to them about it.
Yeah, I mean, I get the hype. It's amazing. Olaf is hilarious. Let It Go is a fantastic song. And I went into it uncynical, you know, without...
I didn't go into it cynical at all.
Oh, I'm sure you did. Anyway, next one we've got Frost Nixon. Jess, I've mentioned it before, is obsessed with Michael Sheen. That's why there's a lot of Michael Sheen movies on this list.
So we're moving from anime tunnel to the next obvious category, which is Michael Sheen movies.
Frost Nixon is his best performance and probably his best film. It's real, real good, real interesting. Shaggy Dog. Robert Downey Jr. Movie. Yeah, yeah. we're now at the release of Disney Plus. This was the first movie I watched. Actually, no, I must have watched Frozen on Disney Plus. Anyway, who cares? No one's listening to this part. No one's made it this far. The Queen, another Michael Sheen movie. Sure, whatever. The film toys with the idea that the idea of royalty is outdated and we shouldn't have royals anymore. And you're like, fuck, this is real. And you're like, oh, that's the bad guy. You're not supposed to agree with him.
I love that. I saw a movie where that happened to me, where I was so aligned with the bad guy's motivation that I didn't realize right away that the film doesn't want you to.
Yeah. I remember you telling me about that. It was Schindler's List. Anyway.
I knew you were going to fucking do that. I was like, he's going to say Mad Max Fury Road.
So I watched Marriage Story, Frozen 2, Noel, which I ended up speaking a little bit about. It's not very good. Lady and the Tramp, we actually did a podcast on. All right. Jeopardy, a film from 1953 about this guy who gets his leg stuck. And that's pretty much all that happens in the movie. Peanut Butter Falcon. This was really cool, actually. You really liked this as well, didn't you?
Yeah, it's cool.
The ending's like a little bit weird, and it feels like it's like a studio tacked on ending, which I think is
when
what it is.
When I look back on it, it feels like the ending should have gone a certain way, but they screwed up the execution, and then it kind of doesn't make sense where it goes to after that. I don't want to speak in spoilers, but I don't know.
Yeah. Highlander 2, The Quickening, oft considered one of the worst movies of all time, was not at all what I thought Highlander was. It takes place in the future and they've blocked out the sun. It's real weird.
Highlander was set in like the Scottish fields.
Yeah, so I think the first one is, but the second one, they've like built this thing that like it's like a fake sky, and then it ends up like destroying society, and it's fucking weird. Like it'll be a fun one to cover on the podcast. Blue Collar. This was Paul Schrader's directorial debut. It's cool. It's like these blue collar guys that essentially do this heist. Guns Akimbo. It's coming out like this week or next week. It's real bad. It's real bad. I cannot wait to have other people to talk to about how bad this movie is. Dogs Don't Wear Pants, one of my favorite films of last year. It's a Finnish film about this guy who loses his wife and he starts seeing a dominatrix. Accidentally starts seeing a dominatrix and then ends up like just relying on her to feel anything. And it's a beautiful movie. Valley Girl, the rom-com from the 80s with Nick Cage. It's a remake of Romeo and Juliet. I did not pick up on that at all. Aroused. This is like a weird fucking, like sexploitation revenge film.
You've got about 4 minutes, Richard. Are you going to be able to get?
We're getting there. The Dirties. Oh, the Dirties is real cool. It's like it's a found footage film about these guys who, essentially just like, oh, what if we did a mass shooting? And then you can't tell if they're taking it seriously or not throughout the whole film. It's you know, a bit controversial, but it is like, I found it very interesting. Missing Link, probably the most boring film I've ever seen. It's almost dialogue-less, and it's this weird Harry and the Hendersons makeup of the Missing Link. Lionheart, this is a Jean-Claude Van Damme film. It's exactly what you'd expect. Blood Rage, this is just like a boring, your average kind of slasher movie. Streetwalkin'.
We're getting into some weird territory, whatever headspace you were in when you chose these movies to watch.
It sounds like
you've been watching them all in a row, and you're just picking them tired and delirious.
You're not far off. There is a very specific circumstance that I watch these films under, which I will not go into, but you might know what it is.
Right.
Streetwalking.
When you went on that cocaine bender, and I was like, exactly. Richard, don't do cocaine, man. And you're like,
you'll watch the weirdest
movies.
Dracula vs. Frankenstein from the 70s. Not very good. It's just exactly what you'd expect. I Lost My Body, the Netflix film, which was nominated for an Oscar. It's an anime.
That looks so good.
It's really cool. It is really cool. Six Underground, another Netflix movie. Well, this one's not very good. Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I really enjoyed it, but at the same time, it's kind of weird. It's a Woody Allen film, so I rescind having enjoyed it. Jumanji, watch this for the first time. It's real fucking cool at the end when he's like, any last words, and Robin Williams says Jumanji. That's the best part of the film. it's not as good as Zathura, which I watched the following day, or either of the Jumanji sequels, which I watched in the
don't think generally Jumanji 1 is actually considered that good.
Yeah,
I think
like
whenever 40%. People talk about
it's nostalgia,
like,
yeah. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, there's a pod vid where you can see what I thought of that, but fuck man, people don't give this film enough shit. I know they give it a lot of shit, but it's not
like
enough.
It's like universally the most shit upon movie.
Yeah, it's not enough.
Like at the moment, it's not enough. And they keep coming out with more shit about it.
Oh my God, we don't need to get into it. Unaccompanied Minors, this is me and my friend like to watch. Me and my friend Tyler. Do you remember this movie?
I just don't understand how this is the chaser to Rise of Skywalker is Unaccompanied Minors. Yes, I remember this movie.
Yeah, so it's like some kids get lost in an airport. We like to watch shitty Christmas movies every year when we're in the same city.
All right, I'm playing the music.
Free Solo, fantastic documentary. Well, oh my God, it's breathtaking. I wish I'd seen this in IMAX, but at the same time I don't, because I would have gotten real bad. I'm scared of heights. Cats, best movie of the year. Jumanji The Next Level, even better.
Jumanji The Next Level, even better than Cats.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire, oh my God, so fucking good. What a beautiful film. I think it's getting like a wide release now, so more people are seeing it, but it's fucking amazing. Ballerina, only watched it because of Carly Rae Jepsen, worth it. Uncut Gems, what a great performance from Adam Sandler. Deserves all the love it's getting. Check it out on Netflix. And the last film I watched in 2019 is The Lighthouse. And much like starting the year off on Pacific Rim Uprising, ending it on a film of the same quality. That is not true.
No, whatever.
Now, The Lighthouse, I am annoyed that I had to watch it after a year of being told it was the greatest. This was this year's Hereditary, where I was like, yep, it is good. I can see why everyone likes it, but it's a massive disappointment for me because I was expecting the second coming of Jesus.
I wish I had the gall to do the Hark speech from The Lighthouse in response to you not liking it.
AJ.
What?
It's now been, with a little bit of time for, messing around at the start, I think we hit 30 minutes pretty well.
Very nice. The music's probably still playing. I haven't...
So, AJ, what did you think of this? What did you think of did you make it to the end? I'm asking you.
I made it to the end. Only
Barely.
Just, though. and... Huh?
Barely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so you sort of talked about what you'd learnt, that it wasn't a good idea.
Films mean nothing to me. In contrast, I have watched 25 films this year. We're into March. I've watched 25 films, 14 of which were James Bond films.
There you go. Well, Richard, thank you for doing this all so we could have one episode's worth of content. I think that shows true devotion to the content right there. And if you enjoyed this episode, then please let us know. Maybe you can encourage Richard to watch double as many films this year. And then we'll do a review next year, which will be half the time of this one. Richard reviews 812 movies in half an hour. That'll be fun. But you can also find Cult Popshire on Facebook and YouTube. Give us a like and a subscribe. There's also the Cult Popshire podcast channel, which if you're listening to this on YouTube, you'll be listening to this on YouTube. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at Cult Popshire, and you can come on our Discord. There'll be a link to that in the show notes below. You can also check out our letterboxed accounts as well. Did you say?
I said, don't catfish us.
No, we've been getting, it's a safe place. But yeah, and you can also email us at cultpopshiremedia@gmail.com. And stay tuned after, the music's probably finished by this point, but we also do post-credit scenes, even though this episode is ostensibly a giant post-credit scene in terms of what we usually talk about.
Let us know how many of the films you've watched. And do you agree? Please go through one by one whether or not you agree with what I think.
Oh, actually, so Enter the Anime was the worst one. What was the best one?
The best film I saw for the first time last year. Actually, there's three.
Okay.
Avengers Endgame, which I didn't mention on this because I watched it. I technically watched it for the podcast. Parasite. And It's Such a Beautiful Day.
Cool. There we go, everybody. All right. Thank you, Richard. And thank you, loyal, beautiful audience members. Good night.
Yeah, and our ugly members.
No such thing. Not as in ugly people don't listen to us, as ugly people aren't real. I'm not saying ugly people can't listen.
What if people listen to us and have bad personalities?
All right. Then they're ugly. And they're not allowed to listen. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
All right. Oh, man. It's going to be tough to live up to that episode, but we're going to try and we're going to fail.
live up to it with the small fan service moment at the end of the episode.
Yep.
They're like, that was better.
But we're not going
episode.
To, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay. Oh, the episode wasn't great, but the post-credit scene, oh boy. The what, I hear you ask? The post-credit scene.
Yes.
That's what this is. It's the scene which posts the credits.
All right,
so
man.
So just send us your address and we'll post you the credits of
everyone
the episode.
Who's involved in the Cult Popshire podcast, from the people who record it to the people who host it to the people who... That's it. This is a two-man job most of the time.
Yeah.
I wish I could say
except
we had
the,
audio.
Except for the special guest we had on the episode just preceding this post-credit scene. Yeah. Thank you so much to that guest.
Thank you, guest. I think their name was James Bond. So yeah, this is a segment of the show where people who donate more than $5 get to give us sort of something to talk about at the end of an episode. And this little segment, if you want to contribute to that and be able to give us something to talk about, then just go to www.patreon.com/cultpopshire and throw in $5 or more per month. That's an insanely low amount of money. I would do that.
That's one coffee a month. For a day.
a moment of setting it up, you know, getting your bank card out. And this question comes to us from friend of the show, Calvin Sang, and he asks,
They're all friends of the show.
That's true. But Calvin specifically is it's someone that we've worked with before. He was on an episode of Soda Popshire a while back. And he asks us, what's one dumb trend and one cool trend you've seen in movies lately? I found this a particularly difficult question, despite this being a topic I'm really interested in talking about. I couldn't think of anything I hadn't talked about before. Like, whether it's good or bad, like sequels that ignore every other sequel and shit like that, trends. But I couldn't think of any, up-and-coming ones that And this, I feel like we get asked this question a few times in the various Q&As we've done. But do you have any answers for this question?
Better representation.
Right, yeah. And that's a good trend. There you go. I tried to give you the. I tried to make the same joke, but while also coming out on the right side of history. But you just plunged right into the depths there.
Yeah. Although you know, history hasn't happened yet, so we don't know who's going to be on the right side. Imagine if, like, 100 years from now, they're like, "Fuck, oh man, AJ was wrong trying to be pro representation."
Imagine someone actually arguing that you're on the wrong side of history for doing all these things.
When the Academy Awards have nominated all men and then script all white men and then script these jokes for women and people of color to poke fun at.
So something that, at the time of recording, just happened.
It's very timely content.
I wrote for Cool Trend, I wrote down Wholesome is the new dark and gritty. I think as a response to the world being the way it is, we're getting films with a lot more where there's a lot nicer characters and gentler people in it. I always say this is really good for that woman.
That, like, Mike Schur's TV shows, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Parks and Rec, and The Good Place, are all just about people helping each other.
Yeah.
And being nice. Like, the conflict comes externally. It's not about, like, Parks and Rec has one episode where Leslie and Anne, who are, like, best friends, fight, and that's the whole basis of the episode is they never fight. This is their one fight. And then Ben and Leslie, who are a couple, there's only one episode that revolves around them fighting, and that's about they disagree on a work issue, and they have to not take it home with them. And it's not even like a personal thing, it's about work. And so I just love that you can compare that to something like How I Met Your Mother or Modern Family or Friends, where it's like every episode comes, like the conflict in every episode comes out of like Cam wants to do this but Mitchell doesn't like it, and it's like, you know, it's just becomes boring. And so I think it's not only nicer to watch, but I think it's forcing the writers to be a lot more creative. And so I like that. I agree with you that the trend is it's going good. And I like that when the world is so shitty, the our media sort of shifts to reflect the opposite of that. It's more hopeful. It's that whole thing of how, like, when Democrats are in power, that, like, zombies are big, and it's vampires when there's Republicans or something.
No, the other way around, because it's zombies. This was from a Cracked video from, like, literally 10 years ago. And it was it basically posited that when a Republican is in power, we get a lot of zombie movies as an anti-government kind of, you know, they're making movies that represent how liberals, how Democrats see Republicans as these dumb zombies. And when a Democrat's in power, there's a bunch of vampire movies because Republicans see Democrats as sexy, lustful, you know, bloodthirsty vampires.
Speaking of dumb trends as well, I think we're going to see a lot more Bohemian Rhapsody kind of things.
More?
And, I think, you know, there's like a Bowie one in the works, and there's a few of those. And then also Adam McKay's kind of style of like recent political sort of obnoxiously directed films. It really worked in The Big Short. It didn't work in Vice. And then Bombshell's like a pale imitation of it. Bombshell's good, but it doesn't need a lot of the Adam McKay-isms that it stole.
One thing I thought was also real interesting is how like The Shape of Water winning Best Picture, everyone was like, this is, you know, two, three years ago, Shape of Water winning Best Picture, everyone was like, oh, this is it, you know, this is so good because now we're going to get more movies like The Shape of Water. I can't think of a single movie like The Shape of Water. Has it not been long enough, do you reckon?
Maybe not. Yeah, those films are all entering development now.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.